I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that looked pretty good.
That looked good.
We just saw Hendon Hooker complete about a 40-yard pass to Jackson Meeks, who dropped the pass on Friday night in Atlanta and then had a big game after that. So what appears to be a bit of a red zone drill here. They're outside the red zone. Let me correct that. They started outside the red zone, but they were on the plus side of the field. Hendon Hooker completed a pass that I think actually went to the end zone, but they've marked it inside the 15-yard line to run another rep.
So, I think you're correct.
Okay. So Hendon Hooker, good throw there. I know his performance got a lot of scrutiny, and we'll get into it momentarily. Scott Anderson, I just want to say something here. Do you remember when this place opened up, the Allen Park headquarters of the Lions? One of the things that was criticized about it was there wasn't enough room that fans could attend preseason practices. That was one of the storylines, because before this, they were at Saginaw Valley, right?
Yes. Yeah, they did that for a couple of years.
And they'd practice in SVSU Stadium, and fans could come watch.
Yes, it was really cool.
Did shows from the press box there at SVSU. And then this opened up, and I think about where we stood, there was a par 3 golf hole.
I think that's changed around. I want to say it was way over in the corner over there.
I thought it was where we stood. What they've done, though, in the interim is they have actually made it, this is a really fan-friendly event, and the fans that can get in here, they now just have grandstands that fans can sit in. There's obviously VIP areas and places where they can stand and watch. But it is far more fan-friendly than when it first opened up.
It is, and it's great to see, and fans come out in droves. The ones that are invited, I don't think this is just totally open to.
Well, you can get tickets, but they go quickly.
Yeah, so it's really nice what they do, and the players take their time and sign a lot of autographs afterwards, and it's very interactive, and the cheerleaders are out here, and Rory's out here, and it's a good time, and later in the week, the Dolphins will be here on Wednesday and Thursday while we're out here. And, you're going to have two fields completely filled with players. And eventually they start to scrimmage and stuff. And that's when it gets really fun. Watching them in shells here, the ones versus ones occasionally, it's kind of cool to see. I mean, I haven't been able to catch a ton while we're doing the show here. Our view is a little obstructed, but it looks like Hutchinson looks great.
Yeah.
On defense, Jared Goff is throwing the ball on time. These are things that you notice a little bit out there, but it's not what people want to talk about, apparently.
Well, look, let's start with this. The biggest story of the game was Maurice Norris.
Yes.
That was a scary moment. The great news is he was back here at the facility yesterday, and I don't know what his long-term prognosis is, but the worst case scenario is avoided as far as paralysis or anything
right.
Even more serious than that. And that was a scary, scary moment. And I don't know what we can say about it that hasn't already been said. Of course, it puts things into perspective. Hopefully everybody has perspective before something like that. In sports, people say, thank God this, thank God that. This was a true thank God moment. Thank God he was okay. That fencing look when a player gets hit in the head and they go stiff on the field is always uncomfortable to see. And every player is one player away, man. Is one play away, I should say. Every player is one play away from some sort of severe injury.
Yeah, and this was just a normal play, right? Running back coming through the hole and getting to that next level, and the safety comes up to make the play, and just it was the perfect storm of putting his body across to make the tackle at the same time that Nathan Carter's leg was coming up, and it was just like a thigh right to the face. It was you know, kind of, I mean, it was brutal. Obviously, the end result's brutal when they have to bring an ambulance out onto the field. It's brutal, and it's one of these things that I feel like we've seen this 100 times or more where nobody's hurt. It's just a play, but this was the circumstances just bang, and you see the slow motion
what
replay.
What do you mean you see, saw one?
Well, I mean, it just when I say that it looks like it's just a normal play until you get a closer look at it, and you're like, that's a lot of force. And now you can understand. When you see the head snap back and that, it's then you're like, uh-oh. And you realize that no matter how protected these guys are out there with helmets and pads and all that, you're still vulnerable. And it's a very violent, violent game.
All right, so as far as what happened on the field, I'll just say this about Hendon Hooker. No decisions have to be made in the next 5 minutes. What we see, the window that we see, is a small window into the overall judging process. All the different data points that are used to determine what they're going to do with Hendon Hooker. We see a little bit, a very little bit. Does he look like he's trending to be a quality backup in this moment in time? From what we can see, not necessarily. But, you know, they may see more runway here with him. I suspect that they do see more runway here with him. Should we be disappointed? And I'm going to say no, and here's why. And I guess I'm doing big picture thinking here. Coming out of Friday's game, I feel better about the Lions' backup quarterback situation. I don't feel better about Hendon Hooker, but I feel better about the Lions' backup quarterback situation. And it should never be lost. The Lions are in the business of trying to win a Super Bowl, not trying to justify the Hendon Hooker draft pick, not in the trying to make sure Hendon Hooker has a job, not in the trying to build up his stock so he can be traded. If he doesn't work out, he doesn't work out. Kyle Allen looked pretty good. Not great, but pretty good.
Well, that's the other side of it, right, is that Allen steps right in, leads him to a couple of touchdown drives, and looks really good doing it. You know, he threw his passes on time, took a deep shot, it paid off despite the referee's interference on the play, which was one of the strangest things I've
seen. I've never seen that before.
I mean, the referee literally ran right in front of the route.
It was weird.
I can't explain that, but he made the passes. And if you've given up on Hooker, fair enough. I understand it. I understand why people would. And because people don't want to wait. People want the instant gratification, good or bad. They want to make decisions right away. They don't want to let things play out. And, you know, you go back a week ago. How awful was Kyle Allen a week ago?
No, he wasn't good.
He was awful.
In the Hall of Fame game he's talking about.
Yeah, he was awful. And Hendon Hooker, what he did bad in this past game was didn't take care of the football in terms of hanging on to it. He didn't make bad passes.
He didn't do much because there wasn't much downfield throwing. And you listen to the play-by-play, I assume, because we don't have the All-22, it sounded to me like there were some receivers missed. Not in terms of the throw, he just didn't see him.
Yeah, and there was one the play where his first fumble was another play where he had to take off and kind of run a little bit. And TJ Lang was doing the color commentary on TV, and he made a comment like if he had just waited, if he had stayed there, he could see that so and so was coming open. And looking back at the replay, I thought it's a little unfair. Because he has to make up his mind what's he going to do, and he starts to take off, and you know, if he had thrown the ball, he'd have to throw it across his body, which you never want to do. But if you wait for that split second where the receiver then starts turning back and running with him, again, he's got to make up his mind, am I going to take off and try to pick up positive yards, or you know, do I risk getting hit and throwing something here? But nonetheless, he didn't take care of the football. Just when he started moving the ball down the field, you're feeling good about it. Okay, here we go. He takes a hit from the play side. And, you know, getting hit from behind on the backside, blindside hit, that's one thing. But this wasn't. I mean, the rush was coming right at him, and he's got to react quicker. And when I say react quicker, meaning he's got to protect that football better because he can see the hit coming. So the damning thing out of that game to me for him was that Dan Campbell said, that's enough, let's change quarterbacks. And that, I think, as much as anything else, has people talking today like, oh, decisions made on who the backup is. And yet, I don't know if the decision's been made or not, and I'm totally cool if it is. If they've already made that choice, fine. I trust Dan Campbell. I trust Brad Holmes. They'll get it right, and that's fine, right for this situation. But do I think it's possible that this is an ongoing saga, who the backup is going to be? Yes, I still think it's an ongoing saga. I think there's no question coming out of that game, Kyle Allen played better. There's no question.
Yeah, this is no debate.
Both quarterbacks were, I thought, look, Hendon Hooker didn't do much in the first game, but the interception he had was a ball that was stripped out of the receiver's hands. So did he outplay Kyle Allen in the first game? Yes. Did Kyle Allen outplay Hendon Hooker in this one? Unquestionably. So what happens in the game on this week when they take on the Dolphins?
And the joint practices.
Exactly. And the joint practices to an extent, sure. Though I imagine that there's going to be a lot of Jared Goff in the joint practices, maybe not so much of the others.
So what's interesting is I don't look at this as a Hooker or Kyle Allen discussion. I think we're getting to the point where it feels to me like it's more of a Hendon Hooker or, I don't know, Michael Neese discussion. I'm talking about somebody who's a fringe roster player. Like the question of whether or not Hendon Hooker is going to get to stick around is who is number 52 or 53 battling for the final roster spot? Because I have no problem with them saying, we're trying to win a Super Bowl. We're gonna waive Hendon Hooker and try and put him on the practice squad. Because if there is a player, like I want them to keep Zach Cunningham.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Cunningham.
Linebacker.
The linebacker from Vanderbilt. Now, and part of that goes back to pre-draft bias. Loved him out of Vandy. That was 9 years ago. Can you believe that was 9 years ago?
A long time ago. We both liked him a lot.
Yep. Zach Cunningham is a guy that might be battling for a job, right? Then I might find myself saying, I'm not going to stick around and wait for Hendon Hooker anymore. As much as I would like to give him every opportunity to develop here, the roster spot might not be there. So you find yourself in these situations, and I think there is a chance that Hendon Hooker could still be a quality backup in this league. But you can't be in the business of keeping Hendon Hooker employed.
No, the chance dwindles every minute. It feels like that we're getting further and further away from it. And I don't know if it's who's the 52, who's the 53 man on the roster.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1. On the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As much as it's who can become available from other teams that they want to say we want to go grab and be our backup over Kyle Allen and Hendon Hooker. You know, it's interesting because the quarterbacks that we have, whether it's you or me or Kang, that we've all kind of really liked out of college, all those guys have played better than Hendon Hooker has.
So you're talking about Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, Malik Willis.
Yes. All three of those guys have played better.
I do want to state for the record, because and people will point it out, Hendon Hooker is on your resume.
Of course he is.
Yes.
100% he is.
Yes.
The other thing those guys have had are opportunities.
And by the way, it's okay. I'm not busting your balls.
I don't take it that way.
I know that people.
I don't take it that way at all. No. The other thing is,
he's not going to defend it to the end, people.
No. Absolutely not.
Malik Willis.
I'm completely objective about this situation. Trust me. As much as I like the guy and I'm rooting for the guy, I root for the team more so. I want this team to be successful, and if that means that he's not part of this roster, so be it. But those other three guys that we all really liked, they've also had opportunities to start NFL games. And Hendon Hooker has not, which might be, again, more of that damning evidence to this point. But he's basically in his second training camp, and there's no separation from him to Kyle Allen. There might be a little separation from Kyle Allen.
Going the other way, yeah. 248-539-9797. Champ and Chump votes get them in. It is Carson Anderson. Jared Goff joins us later this hour here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, have you got some issues with the garage door? Like maybe it's making some really strange noises, or it's just not performing the way you want it to, right? Like it's sluggish. It's going slow. And when it makes those noises, you don't want that either. Here's what you do. Call the great folks over at Precision Garage Door Service, and they will take care of the problem. They'll diagnose it, and then they will fix it right there in the spot because they have expert technicians in the field, all the equipment they need in the trucks. They're amazing. Give them a call today, 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, or you can visit them on their website at precisiondoormi.com and schedule an appointment at a time that works for you. Precision is willing to work with you. Again, 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, or schedule that appointment online at precisiondoormi.com.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.